Well, we're going to continue on in the book of Hebrews. Today, we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. And this is where he begins to introduce and compares the Lord's priesthood in comparison to Moses and how they failed, especially those that were in the wilderness. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly callings." Did you see that? I like the way he just doesn't mix it. Partakers of the heavenly calling. I'm going to tell you, the church must learn to partake of the heavenly calling. We are not an earthly priesthood. We are a heavenly priesthood, and we must get accustomed to the ways of the Spirit, living in the Spirit, operating in the Spirit, taking the supernatural should become natural, not goofy or crazy or weird, but it should be experience, operating in fullness, operating by the parameters of the Word of God. You stay in the parameters of the Word of God, there's all you want. He is all that you could ever ask for. And they tell you His presence is so full. If you ever learn to keep His Word and what that means, what I've been talking to you about, there is a time that Word will explode on the inside of you, and it'll be like honey. It'll be like, honey, thy words are found, and I do eat them. Thy words are unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I'm not talking about just the words in that Bible, the words that were sown in you. You'll learn to get connected to those and learn how to meditate and keep them and take the time. I promise you, it will become the greatest treasure of your life. There is no greater treasure than that word that you carry. It begins to speak. It begins to prophesy. It's like honey. I mean, you fall absolutely in love with it, and it just keeps giving life, 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 and more life. It pretty soon is just going to get clothed in this natural realm. There's no way any one person can contain a living word. The way it lives is you giving attention to it. If you don't give attention to it, it doesn't live. It grows dormant. You have to give the attention to it. You have to meditate it, lock into it, and not let it go. If you're willing to do that, you're going to experience the fruits of that word. You're going to experience inside. You're going to come into a love affair with a word of God that you've never known possible. I never knew possible until now, and we're going to see His promises fulfilled and flow like rivers of living water. We are partakers of the heavenly calling. Hallelujah. Amen. Consider the apostle. He is an apostle. The nature of apostolic ministry is to bear witness and to function in the heavenly tabernacle. He is our apostle. He's been sent into the heavens. He is the forerunner that has passed through the veil. In chapter 1 said the Father appointed him heir of all things. Hallelujah. God now speaks through His Son. Hebrews 12 said, "See that you refuse not Him that speaketh from heaven." We must learn to turn our ear and our hearts toward the heavens. You learn to do that here, praise God. If you're not, you're going to turn your ear and heart towards an earthly priesthood, and you're going to get limited. The reason the church is limited, because those that are leading the church are limited. They stop and they build where they've stopped. They may stretch as far as the east is from the west, but they're only going to bring people as far as they themselves have chosen to walk. Hallelujah. Our priesthood is a heavenly priesthood. Hallelujah. It's a heavenly tabernacle. That's where we dwell. That kind of worship that came in here today, that's coming from the right hand of God. That's the glory. That's the fullness. That's the beauty. It's the sweet presence. The living God. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ, who was faithful to Him that appointed Him, as Moses was faithful. So he's beginning to compare Moses' priesthood. He begins to say Moses was a servant in God's house, but Christ presided as a son. Now notice what he says here in verse 5. Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant. That's what they were, servants of an earthly tabernacle, but they served God. They were given the oracles of God. They were God's spokesperson in the earth until the Son came in. Look at verse 6, "But Christ as a son, as the heir of the Father, he resides over his own house. Whose house are we?" Whose house are we? We belong to Christ. We belong to His house. It's a heavenly priesthood when we are partakers. We got to take off the limitations that imposed on us by religion and doctrine and lack of understanding. We must move into these books and let them release their image so our spirit can release in faith. Amen. To dwell in the high places of God. Booyah. This city is blessed. I'm going to keep saying this because you're in it. This city is blessed because you're in it. It's going to see revival, glory, apostolic government. The city will have the witness of a true apostolic government. That is a fact. Amen. Hallelujah. Whose house are we? Whose house? Carson's coach, Coach Mack, used to, we get out there on the field. He goes, whose house? Our house. Whose house? Our house. We belong to His house. Hallelujah. Wherefore, verse 7, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you hear His voice, He's speaking from the heavenly tabernacle. He's always, always pulling you up if you hear Him. If you're listening to Him, He's always moving. His leadership's moving. It's because He's not telling you to go to Timbuktu doesn't mean He's not leading you. Most times He's trying to lead you to a higher place, so when you do go to Timbuktu, wherever that's at, you're going to have something to give to Timbuktu. I know a lot of people are running around the nations. They run. They can't stop. Not for 5 minutes. They burn themselves out, but what they're leaving, what they're giving the people is where they stopped in God. I have a dream. I have a vision to deliver a 100-fold glory to the nations. That when we're sent into the nations, we're carrying 100-fold glory. We're carrying that which was appointed to the sons and daughters of God. Carrying Christ in His 100-fold operation. Carrying the glories of His right hand. I'm releasing that. Now He's going to get into the priesthood of Moses, in particularly the provocation during the wilderness where they provoked Him. We're going to look at that a little bit. They missed it big. They were given demonstration like no other generation ever, and they missed God big. Only two of them out of the entire company were able to go in. Joshua and Caleb. Say, that's me. And He gives us warnings. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation. That is not going to be me. It is not going to be you. And said they do always err in their hearts. Say err in their hearts. They have not known my ways. They never got it. They saw His acts. They saw His power. They had what we want. They had that. But they didn't understand God. They may have had what we want, but we have something they never got a hold of. They never knew God. They never knew His ways. So I swear in my wrath, verse 11, they shall not enter into my rest. Now He mentions rest. This is the first time He mentions this. He's going to mention it 10 times in these 2 chapters. And He likens this word rest to the promised land. He said, I swear in my wrath, they're not going to enter my promised land. The rest was the promised land. The promised land was the rest. So when God speaks about rest in the book of Hebrews, He was talking about the promised land. The rest of God is the promised land. There's 3 phases of His rest. 3 operations. One is speaking of heaven itself. The promised land was a type of heaven. We don't struggle very much with that. Everybody pretty much knows we're on our way to glory. That's not where we're struggling with our faith. The second one is the righteousness of faith, where we ceased in our strivings with sin and our works, and we accepted the free gift of His righteousness that came from the Lord. We entered into the rest of the born-again, new creation man, where we cease from our striving. Doesn't mean you don't sin, but your nature has been changed. I don't have to work for this salvation. It was a free gift. Most of us that are mature, we get that part. We understand that part of His rest. We've entered into His rest. I know that I'm the righteousness of God. That's the whole faith movement. It was designed around the righteousness of God. How many of you know that you're the righteousness of God in Christ? We don't struggle. We know you can't go work for your salvation. You can't work for that. It's a free gift. You have to accept it. You have to believe it. You have to believe what He did for you. Where we struggle is that final operation of entering into His personal and corporate promises. That's part of the promised land. How many of you got a promised land that hadn't been fulfilled yet? Raise your hand. That's what we're after. That's the one we want. Amen. Take heed, verse 12. Lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief. He keeps talking about the heart. Unbelief resides in the heart, not the mind. It's because your mind gets squirrely every once in a while and your thoughts running through it. That does not constitute unbelief. Faith is a product of the heart. Faith comes from the heart, not the mind. Faith is an operation of the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. For you'd have His word in your mouth. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing. See, in departing. There's a constant admonition in the book of Hebrews. Do not draw back. Do not turn away. Do not refuse Him that speaketh from heaven. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Take heed that you depart. God's always leading. He was leading the children of Israel, and He's leading us to a promise. Don't turn aside and try to do it yourself. Or He made that mistake. I can educate you on that. I have a PhD in birthing Ishmaels. I'm not proud of that, but finally have gotten a handle on it. So, Lord, you sure picked the kind of wrong guy. Oh, don't look so holy out there. Don't look so holy. Beautiful thing about God, it doesn't really matter what condition He finds you in. He delights in taking the weak things to confound the wise. Not many noble are ever going to make it anyway. They're too busy with themselves. He takes the weak, the hungry, the thirsty, and those that are in love with Him. He doesn't care how many faults you have, as long as you hate Him. As much as He does, He's going to work it out. Turn to your neighbor and say, He is going to work it out. It's God and His work in you to do His good pleasure. He's at work all the time. The internal leadership is just as important as the external leadership. He's moving us from glory to glory internally. So when He does move us externally, we're going to have something to give. Verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ. That's going back to verse 1. Partakers of the heavenly calling. Christ is the heavenly calling. Don't confine Him into the earth. He operates from a heavenly priesthood. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. So you have to hold God. We don't get the luxury of letting go. You let go, you draw back. You let go, you turn aside. We constantly have to move in Him. But it gets better and better. The more you move into the world, the more you get drowned in the sorrows of it. Promises you pleasure. It gives it to you for a season. And then it bites. God promises the execution of your flesh. The crucifixion of the old man. But then He promises your glory to glory. So it gets better and better. God is greatly to be praised. I'm enjoying more God in this season of my life than I ever have since I've learned to keep His Word. Oh my goodness, it anchors you right down into Him. It anchors you right into the secret place. It anchors you right into His glory and His sweet presence. Oh, you just can't get enough of it. It's so glorious and so beautiful. You just want more, and it gives you more. More and more and more, and it keeps giving you more. It's going, you can't wait just to get in touch again. Oh, how sweet His words are to my taste. Hallelujah. The words have I received as an inheritance forever. My testimonies. Well, it said, verse 15, see, He's in the provocation. We're going to go look at the provocation where they provoked Him. I want you to see what they did. So the mighty heart of God, thinking about that, promises them, delivers them Egypt, and then doesn't let them go in. I think that's kind of hard until you understand what they did. They were definitely an evil generation. You got to dig a little bit to find out what upset God so much. I mean, there's the surface things that upset Him, and then there are the things that really upset Him. So we're going to look at the provoking. It says, while it is said today, verse 15, today if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. As in the provocation, as some when they heard did provoke. They provoked Him. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You get close enough to His word, you keep it, it'll produce such a thankfulness in you. When it turns into honey, and it will turn into honey, you'll thank God that you were chosen and given the opportunity to carry the preciousness from heaven. The reason why it's not precious is we're not in tune with it. It's precious when you give your attention to it. It turns into honey, heavenly honey to your soul. It's glorious. That word's like honey. It's awesome. As you hold it, you fellowship with it. You're fellowshipping with Him. It's beautiful. You'll develop a thankfulness. You'll stop murmuring about it. I'll tell you that. It has removed murmuring. Wow, how it changes. Yeah, how it changes. But verse 17, with whom was He grieved 40 years? Was it not with Him that sinned whose carcasses? Well, I don't want to be labeled like that. I am a son. I don't want to be labeled as a carcass. Do you? That's the way God labeled. Carcasses fell in the wilderness. That was a testimony. The testimony of a life that their carcass fell in the wilderness. I want to have the testimony. Caleb and Joshua. God called them by name. The rest of them He labeled as carcasses. I am not going to be labeled as a carcass. Verse 18, say, Lord, call me by name. I want to be named. God has no problem naming you. You walk with God, He'll give you a name. Hallelujah. Verse 18, and to whom swore He that they should not enter His rest into the promise, but them that believed not. So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. He called that whole thing unbelief. They did not inherit. It's possible to obtain a promise. They had more promises than any other generation. They had more acts and more demonstration and more power. And they missed it. Say, that ain't going to be me. So let's go over there real quick. Go over the numbers. I'll show you the obvious, and then we're going to get into the things that really upset Him. They kind of upset Him in stages. They kind of kept turning the fire up. God gave them a lot. Amen. Numbers 13. We'll just peruse through this because you're well aware of the evil report brought up from the promised land. This is the first thing. He sent the spies in. They come back and they said, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's just like they brought the grapes out and said, here it is. I mean, they couldn't wait to begin the evil report. You got to watch what's coming out of your heart. Not what's going on in your mind. You must watch what's coming out of your heart. And the reason why it came out of the heart, because they never carried His word in the first place. That battle was over before they ever walked in there. Because only two of them heard. These were tribal leaders. They were not random men. They were the chief of the tribes that went in there, 12 of them. Strong and mighty men, but only 2 of them heard the word and kept it. That's why they were able to give the report they gave, because they saw the word inside them greater than the circumstance. But the other 10 bowed down and said, we're like grasshoppers. The giants are in the land. We're not able to overcome them. We be not able. Verse 27 says, we came into the land. Numbers 13, surely it floweth with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, you got to get the nevertheless out. Their heart began to release that evil report. You know why? That battle was over for those 10 before they ever walked in there. They were not prepared for their promised land. God told them there would be giants in there before they got there. But he spent more time telling them the glory of that land and not. They were camping on God's inheritance. They went right down into Mount Hebron. They pulled grapes out of Mount Hebron. God planted that mountain 400 years before. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the patriarchs of generational inheritance. Their wives were all buried there in that mountain. That anointing was in that mountain. God was coming to reclaim it. That was the prized possession of the promised land. Man, the Lord spoke to me something the other day. As I was holding that mountain in my heart, he said, Caleb never once in 45 years murmured. Not once. He got one picture of the promised land. One trip, him and Joshua were the one that carried the grapes out. He offered up the good report. He stilled the people and said, listen, we're well able to do this. Shut your mouth. You ain't got nothing good to say. Hush up. I can speak for the tribe. He gave a good report and was forced to go back. How'd you go back? Before, I'd totally have an attitude. I grumble on far less things. I used to anyway. So Caleb got that mountain. You look at the men that inherited that mountain. They were men of faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Caleb, David. Christ himself inherited that mountain. You join a long list of people if you want that mountain. Men of great faith. The grumblers will never have part in that mountain. Man, I'll tell you his faith. I'm like, Lord, I don't know how he did it. He said he kept my words. Isn't that evident to you? He said, we're well able. He didn't even see the giants. See, it's possible to walk through life and not see the giants. It's possible to walk through life and see nothing but the promise. But to do that, it's going to have to live mightily big in you. You're going to give attention to it. If you don't give attention to his word, all you're going to see is trouble. Barney, rubble, trouble. Everywhere you go is going to be Barney, rubble, trouble. It's going to come out of your mouth. You're going to share it with your friends. You want some of my trouble? You ever been around people that all they do is trouble? Because that's all they focus on. You cannot walk around with people in unbelief like that. You can't do that. They will cast stuff on you all day long. Sometimes they'll wait at the door to tell you their trouble. Whose report will you believe? Listen, when God brings you in, there's going to be devils. There's going to be persecution. You got to be ready for that. I get ready now. I don't get ready then. I'll decide to put his word in my mouth. When I get in front of a giant, I already have to have it dwelling in my heart. If I don't have it, I'm going to get buried. Because the giant's going to be greater than what's inside of me. But if I have his word when I get ready, I don't see the giants. I don't care if it's never been done in this city. It's going to happen anyway. Against hope, believed in hope. You don't get that by just walking out there. You have to sow to that. You have to have that in your heart. These men know how to hide the word in their heart. And when it came time, it was ready. They offered up the good report. And the other one said, we be not able. Nevertheless, the people be strong. The cities are walled and very great. That's what they sound like to God. Verse 31, we be not able. They brought up the evil report. Verse 32, it's a land that eateth up the inhabitants. Oh my, getting eaten up then. Get on in there. Do you know the sons of Joseph came to Joshua and started complaining? They said, our land is too narrow. That's what they said to him. After all, you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my daddy, Joseph. Great, 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 grandpa. You wouldn't be here. None of you. We have a right for a big old portion. You know what Joshua said? You want some promised land? You know what he told him? He said, get yourself up to the mountain. Go right up that mountain where the giants are. Go get all you want. If your land be too narrow, walk up that mountain and get all you want. They all wanted it free, but nobody wanted a battle. Not one of them. As for Mount Hebron, it was the prized possession. Except Caleb said, give me that mountain, Joshua. Joshua, you know the sons of Anakim, they said, they're bread for me. I eat it for breakfast. He's 85 talking like that. 85 years old. The strength that was in me 45 years ago is to strengthen me now. I am ready. The same I was. Nothing's changed, baby. God, how do you have faith like that? All you've ever experienced is the brickyard of Egypt. All you've ever experienced is wandering around with a bunch of carcasses. Yet you were able to maintain something on the inside of you. Never allowed your circumstance to get in. Not once you ever hear him ever murmuring. When God showed me that, I broke hard. Just to get the opportunity to carry his mountain. Just to have the honor to carry something like that. I said, not ever again, God. I might murmur about traffic. But I will not murmur about this word. I'll be thankful the rest of my life for the opportunity to have such a mountain. Well, that's really not even what upset him. Go to chapter 14, Numbers 14, verse 3. And see, they're going to continue on in their murmurings. Now they're really going to upset God. Now you're going to understand why their carcasses fell in the wilderness. Watch what they did. Numbers 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. All the children of Israel murmured against Moses, against Aaron, against Pastor Chuck. They murmured. The whole congregation said unto them, would to God, we would die in the land of Egypt. Oh, really? How many times did he deliver them, open the Red Sea for them, and drown an entire army? And listen to what they did. Would to God we would have just died in the land of Egypt. Or God, we had died in this dreadful wilderness. God said, I offer you a promised land, and that's what you say to me? Now watch what they say. Verse 3, wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. You brought us here so you could slay us by the sword. You brought us here, God, so you could slay our children. That's why you did it, God. You brought us all the way here, drowned armies, moved mountains, poured water out of rock, just to get our children right here so you could slay them by the hand of an enemy. Boy, you can just, God's fury. Move away, Moses. Let me light him up. Get out of the way, Moses. Moses would stand there. I don't know how he did it, but he kept making intercession for them. Man, he kept going right in between. He's ready to walk them out in the wilderness. God turned and he said, I'm going to get the whole camp. I'll make another nation of you, Moses. Just get out of the way. I'll burn them right there to the ground. Moses, no, 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 no. Moses got God from wanting to burn them all the way into showing his glory to them. That was his grace. Show them grace, God. Show them grace. I mean, the day before he wanted to burn them to the ground, the next day Moses walks out as a light bulb full of the glory of God. Said, this is what God wants for you right here. Man, he wants to do it again right here. He kept making intercession for him. How do you like to know God like that when he's ready to take down a nation? Somebody stand up there and knows God and said, wait, 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 wait. God stopped for Moses. Verse 9. Only rebel not against the Lord. Neither fear you the people of the land. I like this, Caleb. For they're bread for us. Their defense is parted from them. That's how the word of God will make you feel. That's what's going on in the faith inside. You'll know the enemy. His days are numbered, not yours. His days. Verse 10, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones. They wanted to stone them for exercising faith. Better watch what you say against people exercising faith. I mean, after I saw the earth swallow up the sons of Korah, I don't think I'd be saying anything. I'd keep my mouth to myself. He said, separate, separate. You go over here, you go over here. And he opened the earth and swallowed Korah and all his sons. The earth swallowed them up. Now they're wanting to stone them for standing there and say, we can take this mountain. Verse 11, the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people provoke me? That was the provocation. That's what was upsetting him. Accusing me of wanting to slay their children. What kind of God would that be? I want you to see something else. This will rattle your cage. Go to Deuteronomy 1. There's no end to unbelief. This is why they couldn't inherit. Keep his word, you will have no part in that. Pretty extreme, isn't it? Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 27. Deuteronomy 1, verse 27. Wow, look at this. It says, and you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he brought us forth out of the land of Egypt. Did you hear that? Because the Lord hated us. Never, ever allow yourself to get in such a position that you think God hates you. Never let your soul get in such a position that you accuse God that something about you he doesn't like. It's hard enough to say, Father, I don't know if you even love me today. Don't ever let yourself get to the position that you believe God would ever hate you. He led you all this way, saved you because he hated you. Do you see why they couldn't inherit? You see the clear mark? That was a condition of their heart a long time ago. That didn't happen when they got in front of the giants. All the giants did was just give you a Kodak moment of what was going on in their heart. They never kept his word, ever. They never exercised faith in what God said. You can't just hear forever, my friends. Because what happens, we develop itching ears. We have to have faith in what he said. We have to exercise. Anybody ever heard of exercise? Go to chapter 4. I'm going to introduce this and then we will close. Hebrews 4. That was the provocation. Some mighty strong accusations. People don't make accusations like that overnight. Their heart gets in condition. They're not moving from glory to glory. They're moving from one hole to another hole. And the reason is because they never keep his word. They never exercise faith. They never do anything with what they hear. Do not be like that. Amen. Hebrews 4 and 1. Let us therefore fear, have some respect, lest the promise being left us of entering into his apostolic government, of entering into his fullness, of entering into 100-fold glory, any of us should seem to come short of it. See that? They kept falling short. They were drawing back, turning aside, refusing him that spoke from heaven. You got to watch. God placed you here for a reason to hear these things. He placed us together for a reason. Like it or don't like it, he still put us together. We've been called together, whether you like it or not. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about us entering into a promise. Bunch of ragtag believers. Myself included. God said, yeah, I think I'll use all them. We are following him who is leading us. That's all we can be as followers. Always following until we attain. Oh, he's given us some good stuff. He's given us some awesome keys. Listen, don't wait until you get in front of your giant to exercise faith. You better have your heart ready like Joshua and Caleb. Look at the numbers who didn't make it, who did not obtain. If it was that easy, everybody would obtain. God has a requirement for obtaining. His requirement is to exercise and mix faith with what he said. Amen. So we're ready when the trial comes. Trial of our faith, we're going to make it through. Amen. I'm not going to make it through anymore being charbroiled, burnt crisp. I want to come out smelling like a rose. Amen. I don't come out there with just fire hanging off, sackcloth and ashes. Well, I made it through. We made it through that one. What's next? No, I want to come out with glory to glory. Made it through that one. Hallelujah. It was bread for me. Their defense was parted from them before I even met them. What's working on inside of me is greater than what's out there. I don't want any more charbroiled believers. From glory to glory. From glory to glory, he's training me. From glory to glory, he's training us. From glory to glory, it's growing sweeter every day. It's growing more glorious and easier to stay. From glory to glory, you're moving us. From glory to glory, we're all on this bus. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them that God preached the gospel to them. Their gospel was the promised land. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Did you hear that? The gospel didn't profit them because they never mixed faith with it. Or if you think it's easy to go to 100-fold, it's not. But it is obtainable. A lot of bodies die on the way. A lot of people move out. Do you know there was a whole, if you kept reading, there was a whole bunch of them said, we're going back to Egypt. Moses said, I wouldn't do that if I were you. And then there was a whole other group said, we're going in anyway. Moses said, I definitely wouldn't do that if I were you. They said, we're going in anyway. This is our promised land. Don't be that confused. If you're not going in with the glory of God, you're not going in. They got slaughtered. Slaughtered. We're going to go in by the word of God. We're going to go in with the timing of his word. We're going to be led into that place. We're being led from glory to glory. Hallelujah. We have his promises. We have his keys. We have his blueprints. We have his graces. We keep them, Father, to the very end. For to them who have your words, to them will be given those words, the fruit of those words. And they will be given more abundance. For we abide in you, and these words abide in us. They shall not be taken from us. We will not let them slip. We have said it. We will keep your words to the very end. Thy words, thy testimonies we have received as an inheritance forever. We will not let them go. We have set your words in our mouth that you may part the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth. Thy words are found and we do eat them. Thy words are the joy of and the rejoicing of our hearts.